Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
At Augusta National, Ned, welcome in.
Barney, how many buttons did Ryan A. Mudd just push at the intro there? There's a lot of button pushing.
Ned, what you don't know is that my man, Captain Smiles a lot. There's a little panic going on there behind the scenes, but all is well. He handled the situation masterfully, and all is well. I think the fire department is not coming in. I think we're good. I think we're good. We are now clear to go ahead and talk about the Masters.
Hey, I want to hear at least, in the two segments that you and I are going to be together tonight, I want to hear at least one of "You're Something My Wife Said." I love that. I love that segment.
I might have to share that one earlier than expected, just for you. But Ned, as you've had now several days, and you were there on site, as you've had several days to contemplate this historic win, how can you put it in context for us?
It's virtually impossible to put into context in a lot of ways. It's a comeback that I don't know that we've really ever seen, at least Barney, our generation, right? I mean, we talked about Ben Hogan and taking a Greyhound bus head on and smashing his pelvis and crushing his legs. And then 14 months later, he comes back and he wins the U.S. Open. In terms of golf, it is the greatest comeback. And Steve Stricker won Comeback Player of the Year 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And this is still the greatest comeback. Psychologically, It has been beyond a challenge. And physically, I mean, Barney, you remember when Tiger had his first back surgery, we had Dr. Colin Crosby on, and he said, yeah, listen, this is going to be dicey. Three surgeries later, he said, it's going to be a spinal fusion. Mm-hmm. And you don't expect much out of a spinal fusion in terms of a guy coming back to play world-class golf. And now, not only has he come back, he's climbed back to the pinnacle and the summit of the sport. It's nearly impossible to put into context. I'd be interested to see or hear your thoughts on how can we conceptualize what's happened.
Well, because again, as I talked about in the intro, that some people may or may not have heard, we witnessed the impossible. Because the fact of the matter is, we had long since given up. We had given up that this possibility is going to happen. And in fact, Ryan A. Mudd, for so long, had sat there and said he's not going to make it.
Not going to make it.
He's not back unless he wins the Grand Slam.
Now he's recalibrated that again. A week ago, he said he's not back unless he wins the Masters. But now, no, I think Ryan A. Mudd's not entirely impressed. As far as Ryan A. Mudd's concerned, he's not back until he wins the Grand Slam. But maybe go ahead.
It would have been a coin flip at one point. You know, Ryan A. Mudd has also propositioned us with the Byron Nelson should be the fifth major. I would have taken even odds on Tiger winning the Masters or the Byron Nelson becoming the fifth major.
Yeah,
there was a point in that context.
Yeah, let's not go ahead and talk about that. But in the meantime, it wasn't all that long ago that, look, he could not get up off the couch. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you know, then we start seeing a semblance that he's able to play golf. But in the meantime, going back, depending on how many years you're going back, for everyone that now wants to say about, you're supposed to eat some crow or something like that, wait, hold on just a minute. Because let's not forget that it was because of him that we didn't know, for instance, if he could finish a tournament. In some cases, we didn't know if he could start a tournament. Let's not forget that it came from him. He re-educated us. We had to calibrate back then. It came from him that, I couldn't activate my glutes. Have we all forgotten that? And so from there, the idea that no, keep giving him another 2, 3, or 4 more years and doggone it, he's going to win the Masters. No, besides for the fact that, Ned, he's got more money than his grandkids could ever spend. how complicated would it be for him to just sit there and go, you know what? I'm just going to spend time with my family and walk away and be done. And that would have been okay, too.
Yeah, you remember all the way back to the Hero World Challenge, Tiger's event in the Bahamas, what was it, 3 years ago?
Yes.
In the press conference, he was there strictly for ceremonial purposes. And Barney, he says, anything from here is gravy. And I'm not sure I can play. And yes. So we're all thinking that's pretty much Tiger waving the white flag, that he's done, his career's over. And we were counting his wins and where does he stack up? And maybe Jack's greater because Tiger didn't get all the way to the zenith that we thought he might. But you mentioned his kids, and I think that's a good point. I think the motivation for Tiger, his kids had never seen him play at that level and win that kind of tournament. And I really think that drove him, that for him, it was important that they knew who he was as a golfer, not just his dad. But I want them to see me win, and he did last year in the Tour Championship in Atlanta. But I think in the back of his mind, it was, I'm going to win a major, and my kids are going to watch. And I think as a father myself, I can understand how that would drive a man to work as hard and as tirelessly as he has to get his body in shape, to get his mind right, to be able to compete against the best players in the world on not the hardest golf course on the planet, but certainly a golf course that is exceptionally challenging to win on, and that's Augusta National.
And now, Ned, we're going to be joined by Mark, who wants to call in. Mark, welcome into Global Golf Radio.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this Tiger Woods story, says one heck of a lot about what can be accomplished through determination and desire. It says one heck of a lot about the strength of human desire. And like someone said a moment ago, he could have sat back and enjoyed the rest of his life. He has all the money he needs. But no, he had that desire and that determination, and that says a lot.
Absolutely. And Mark, thanks for being a part of the show. Mark, you're 100% correct because, I mean, again, honestly, he doesn't technically need this. But Ned, I think you bring up a good point about his kids. But now, Ned, I want to turn our attention because, again, as the minutes keep slipping by, the critical moment when the tournament takes a turn. And also, for the record, it kind of cracks me up when people say they knew he was going to win on Thursday because he had a certain look in his eye. Well, I don't know that look in his eye could somehow influence Molinari to hit it in the water on 12, because I'm here to tell you that Tiger Woods does not win the 2019 Masters without Molinari hitting it on 12. So, Ned, that's where I want to turn my attention. But before I hand it off to you, I can give Brooks Koepka a pass for hitting it in the water on 12 because he's playing in the group ahead. And if you remember, the drizzly rain had started. And so there's a chance that also the air had gotten a little bit dense. There's a chance that the ball is flying about 5 yards less than he expects it to. And doggone it, wouldn't you know it, he hits it in the water. And then for Molinari to actually witness a playing partner of Koepka in Poulter, he hits it in the water. Ned, how do you explain Molinari hitting the ball in the water?
I think there are three factors you have to take in, maybe even four. One, and the most important, he said he made a bad golf swing. Swiped across it, worst shot he hit all week. Turns out golf's a hard game. And even guys like Molinari, the machine, they make bad golf swings. And he made a bad golf swing at the most inopportune time. So that's one. Two, you made a great point, Barty. The air was getting heavy. He should have, or his caddy should have, picked up on, hey, two of the three guys in the group in front of us hit it in the water. Something's up. Something's going on.
Yes.
Meaning that the air's a little heavier than we think. Because quite frankly, Koepka's wasn't even close, and neither was Poulter. They were both at least a half club short, and you can make an argument they were a full club short. So if you're Molinari, his caddy at least has to take that into account. The only place you cannot hit it, if you're Molinari, is in the water. That is it. That's the only place you can't hit it. You can hit it to the left side of the green. You can hit it long. Not too long, obviously, but you cannot hit it in the water. You cannot give Tiger any glimmer of hope. And I think that's the third factor, is he was playing with Tiger. And Tiger has that effect on people. I mean, we've seen it throughout his entire career. And Barney, to me, it looked like Molinari was taking an aggressive line anyway. But say he was playing 20 feet left. We saw what Tiger did. Tiger went 40 feet left. And that's where Molinari should have been going. So if he swiped it, it goes in the front bunker. So it was just this domino effect of bad game plan, bad acknowledgement of the situation, bad acknowledgement of what's going on in the air, what's going on in the group in front of you, and then a bad golf swing.
Well, when it comes to Molinari, I refuse to believe that there was an intimidation factor as it applies to Tiger Woods, because he held him off at the British Open last year. But also, as we were getting ready to crown Molinari as this generation's Ben Hogan, not so fast. Not so fast, because I'm here to tell you there's no way Ben Hogan hits it in the water. And is Molinari the only guy on the planet that did not see Jordan Spieth in 2016 torpedo his chances of winning that tournament? I'm not talking about something that happened before color television. I'm talking about something that happened just a few years ago. And for Molinari to make that critical an error, because I'm here to tell you that there's no out of bounds on the back nine. If he keeps the ball dry, if he birdies 13 and 15, which he probably does, he gets to 15 under. He already have one arm in the sleeve of that green jacket. And in one swing, he kissed it away. And then the exclamation point is when he dumps it in the water on 15. And Molinari, you will never get as good a chance to winning a Masters ever again.
No, no, I totally agree. And it's one of those things over a bottle of wine that night, if he's sitting with his caddy or sitting with his family, he probably says to himself, what the hell just happened? How did we give it away? Because they did. They, and again, listen, it's Tiger, it's the final group of the Masters. It's not easy. I get it. But Barney, it was there, it was his, and I'm going to argue the case that they made more than physical mistakes, they made psychological mistakes, and then game plan management mistakes. We've already beat up 12 a little bit. On 15, he hits a bad drive. You have to get the ball back in the fairway. That's number one. Yeah, we want to get it down the left side with that full location on 15 on Sunday. We want to get it down the left side as much as we can, and we'd love to get it as close to the pond as we could so we get that nice little flat lie and hit a little nippy wedge in there. But and I know he was in the trees, but you just play it to the center of the fairway. You play it 25 feet right, and you two-putt, and you make your par. You make somebody beat you. But he lays up into the rough, the ball gets some grass between the ball and the club, and it rides the face, and it goes straight up into the tree. So it wasn't the third shot that was the problem. It was the psychological approach, the mental approach, the game plan management of the second shot, the layup. And, you know, I was there. I called 15 and 16 all week, and I saw guys do that. And even when you're in the trees and you think, I'm just punching out, get it down there somewhere. No. You have to really think about what you're doing.
Well, I'll tell you what, another thing too about this 2019 Masters that I find absolutely remarkable is how it comes about that the two primary guys, the two primary opponents and competitors in his way, coincidentally also happen to be the guy that kept him from winning the British Open in Molinari, and then the guy that kept him and held him off from winning the PGA in Brooks Koepka. I thought that was absolutely unbelievable. But folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Ned Michaels if this was the best golf tournament he's ever seen. So folks, keep it right here. Listen, Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
To the Masters, and that's what I did. Uncle Classic Barbershop, Barney. That's my barbershop.
All right. And so now, Ned, before we go ahead and have a little discussion about, do you think it's the best golf tournament that you've ever seen? Do you think it's the best Masters that you've ever seen? I do want to go ahead and share this, that it was only in 2017, not that long ago in the fall. Again, as you'd mentioned, the Hero World Challenge, Ned, when he more or less made his comeback, he was ranked 1,199th in the world. And now that he wins, he is sixth in the world. And from my perspective, Ned, that we are about to find out if truly the old Tiger is back, because if he truly is, Ned, he might be due a swing change right around now. What do you think?
My gosh.
Would the whole media not have lost their mind if he said, I'm thinking about a little swing change?
Right. I'm going back to Sean Foley or whatever.
Right.
It's amazing. Over 1,000th in the world, to give it some context. I think my highest world ranking was 200th. I don't know, maybe it was 400. I think it was 200. Tiger was 1,000th, Barney. He was five times behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Are you kidding me? And now, again, we're putting this in the context. In fact, he was Tiger. He already had 14 majors, but that doesn't happen. I'm not even sure, actually, if anybody's ever gone from a thousandth to winning a major, you know, who wasn't a rookie, right? Who, they were a thousandth because they had just turned pro kind of deal. It's absolutely spectacular. And Barney, this for the game of golf, you cannot imagine, well, you can imagine what it's going to do for the game of golf because Tiger is back. He's a major champion. And we're not talking now about, hey, how's Tiger's back? We're talking about, can he win the Grand Slam? Because he's won at Bethpage Black, where the PGA Championship is in a couple of months' time. He won by 15 at Pebble Beach. And then we're going to a place in Royal Port Rush that no one's really ever seen in terms of a major championship. It's in Ireland. So you know, that's the conversation now. The context is, can he win the Grand Slam? And that is cool. And that makes golf extremely relevant. And I've been talking, Barney, as you well know, for the past year and a half, 2 years, about this renaissance of golf, about Justin Thomas and John Rahm and Jason Day and Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. And if Tiger could just poke his head back in the mix, and if maybe Phil could get back in there, we'd have this wonderful mixture of the old guard and the new guard going at it. And it'd be high cotton for the game of golf. And sure enough, we have it, and aren't we fortunate to be part of it?
Ned, when you mentioned about the schedule, I'm telling you, the incredible coincidence that the PGA Tour restructures the schedule, moves the PGA Championship, and myself being a member of the PGA of America, that instead of the PGA of America having to wait all the way out into August for that event, that it happens next month, again at Bethpage, do you have any idea how pricey that ticket's about to be? That is going to be, you got to go. No matter what the cost is, you're going to have to go.
Do you get in for free as a PGA member?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Got to get in. I mean, you got to go. We'll find you a place to stay. We'll get you the right colored hat this time, Bernie. But you're right. You know, I think I mentioned to you that I was standing under the 18th tower as Tiger came in and as he hugged his kids and his family, and he eventually went on to sign his scorecard and happened to be standing right next to Susie Whaley. And she had the biggest grin on her face. Mm. And she said, sometimes karma just gets it right. Mm. And of course, she's speaking from the PGA perspective in the matter of fact that they're next. And it's not that long. And Tiger's going to be in good form. He can play a tournament if he wants, play a tournament or two, get some rest. And it's a golf course he's familiar with. And don't you know the New York fans, Barney? Oh my, they are going to be, if we could get Tiger and Phil on Saturday or even Sunday with a chance to win, get out of here. Forget about it.
So now, Ned, before we go ahead and have a little discussion, if you think it's the greatest golf tournament you've ever seen, if you think it's the best Masters you've ever seen, I just want to throw this out at you for just a tenth of a second as it crossed my mind as he is slipping on his fifth green jacket. Do you know that even maybe, probably not 6 months ago, but I'll say maybe about 12 months ago, that as a straight up bet, we're not even tossing odds out there. Do you not know that it would have been inconceivable had I come up and made a bet with you or anyone else and to sit there and go, tell you what, Tiger Woods is going to win the Masters before Rory, Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, and Justin Thomas. I'm going to give you all seven of those guys. And Tiger Woods is going to win the Masters before any of the seven. Without even odds, Ned, I'm telling you, you'd put every nickel that you could assemble, you would take that bet, and you might even steal a few nickels from your beautiful family, again, knowing good and well that, of course, there's no way that could happen, but doggone it, it did.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your right mouth.
Now. Because, I mean, right, exactly. I would have been robbing my son's piggy bank to get in there. There's no chance that was going to happen. But it did, and we got to watch, and it was amazing.
And so now I want you, since you were there on site, as far as you're concerned, is that the best? Is that the best Masters or the best golf tournament you've ever seen?
Yes. That I've ever seen in person, yes.
in person. Okay.
I'd give the tip of the cap to the 86 Masters with Nicholas. But now that one's, it has a little mystique and nostalgia on it.
You're right.
You know, so as my dad likes to say, that story's got a little spicy mustard on it, meaning mm-hmm. it's just embellished a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. as we get older, we remember how good we used to be kind of deal. Now, we can watch the 86 Masters, but it was Jack, and he wasn't supposed to be anywhere near the lead.
Mm-hmm.
His career was winding down. He didn't have a lot of good finishes coming in. He was out of form. In a way, Tiger, you know, he played so beautifully at the PGA. He had a chance to win. In fact, he had the lead at the British. So he'd been in good form. So from a if you only watched the last 8 months of golf, you would say, well, yeah, it's not a surprise that Tiger won. I don't know who this Tiger guy is, but he had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing well. So I think the Nicholas story maybe is a little stronger, but as far as I've ever seen, I don't know. You got anything better?
Well, let me put it to you this way. For you to tip me over the edge and say that, yes, that this Masters is, here's what I need you to do. I need you to replace the names Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, and Tony Finau with Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth. If you substitute those three guys, you know what? Then I think, Jack, I love you. But Tiger, I think that you got him. Because when I look back at the leaderboard in 1986, I do not remember any. Let me put it to you this way. He was surrounded by either the best players in the world or guys that had won majors or guys that were going to win majors. Because also, for the record, when Molinari hits the ball in the water, and I bet it's not but a handful of minutes later, and Patrick Cantlay makes eagle, God is my witness, I am sitting there shouting at the television going, no, 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 no. And no offense to Patrick Cantlay, who, again, is a redemption story of his own. But I'm sitting there going, with all the hype involving in this tournament, when it's all said and done, if Patrick Cantlay wins this thing, I am telling you that any merchandise that I get from the 2019 Masters, I will burn. Because no, not this Masters. Xander Schauffele, who I love. Talented young man. He might win a Masters someday. I'm sitting there going, not this Masters. Not this Masters. And so from my perspective, I'm going to put this one number two. I'm still putting Jack number one.
I think time will tell on who of those names that you just mentioned. We may look back at it and say, look at all the major champions that Tiger beat. First of all, they were already in there. You mentioned them all. This Xander Schauffele, I'm going to proposition you this. At the end of their career, who has more major championships on their resume? Xander Schauffele or Justin Thomas? And I'm going to give you Justin Thomas already has a head start of
right.
One. Who has more at the end of it?
Oh, good question. I wouldn't be one bit surprised for both of them to wind up having probably four or five.
This Xander Schauffele has got it, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's got it, and he's going to win. He's going to win a Masters, in my opinion. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him win a U.S. Open. I wouldn't be surprised to see him end with three majors. He's got it, and he's still young. And I think we're going to look back at this leaderboard 10 years, 15 years from now, and say, "Man, that Xander Schauffele was right there, also." So I'll give you Patrick Cantlay, as you mentioned. Let's not discredit him. Let's not take away from his story. But I think everybody was sitting there going, "No, no, he can't win this. This is Tiger's. Tiger's supposed to win this. Maybe Koepka, but it's either Tiger or Koepka." As a fan, that was on everybody's mind. But trust me, Xander Schauffele, he's a force to be reckoned with.
Now, another big difference to me between 1986 and then this one is in 1986, you knew that was it for Jack. Jack wasn't going to turn around. This was a swan song. This is him exiting the stage. This is one last time for him to remind the best players in the world who his daddy is. Or who the daddy is. But for Tiger, all of a sudden you wonder, is this the beginning of a new chapter? And he makes you wonder, what is next?
I mean, that's the deal. To the point of we are talking now about, can he win the Grand Slam? You'll remember, I think we both picked him to win a major, right, at the beginning of the year. I picked him to win the British. I still think he has a chance. I still think... Yeah, I don't think he's done. Does he get to Nicholas's 18?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I believe that, but I'm certainly thinking about it. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to say that it's a done deal, but I think he's going to get it done. But Ned, we've got a few more minutes left in the segment. And before I let you go, now again, before I let you go, you're going to get to hear my something my wife said. But prior to that, other than Tiger winning, what was your one or two biggest surprises in the outcome of the tournament?
I think Molinari's lack of the decision-making, his poor decision-making was surprising to me. I also think that, you know, rarely do you get an event where everybody who is playing well coming into it, and they all kind of deliver. With the exception of Rose, all the guys who we thought were going to be there, they were there. Mm-hmm. And that storyline rarely unfolds. And then, quite frankly, the fact that we got the thing in on Sunday
was
absolutely insane. So, to me, those are just some arbitrary takes, but everything is so secondary and tertiary to Tiger winning that they don't even really deserve much conversation.
My biggest surprise is I had so much confidence in Rory McIlroy winning. To me, it was his tournament to lose, and for him to not even be a factor in the tournament was astonishing. Justin Rose missing the cut was really a massive surprise to me. Those are probably two of my biggest surprises. So now, Ned, are you ready for something my wife said?
I love this segment. Hit me.
All right, folks, here it is. So as we're watching the tournament unfold with closing holes, my gorgeous, beautiful wife, she looks at me and she goes, "So where's Molinari from anyways?" And I said, "He's from Italy." And she goes, "Well," she goes, "I'd rather Tiger Woods win than some guy from Italy." To which I looked at her and I said, "Yeah, coming from a woman who married a guy from Canada." And then she says, and I quote, "But I'd be okay if you won." Oh, well, isn't that nice and adorable of her? She'd be okay if I won.
You did win the 1991 OVC Championship.
You're darn right I did. But again,
you would win the Masters.
Again, could you imagine? Hey, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I won the Masters. Oh, good. That's good. Good for you. Fantastic.
You mow the lawn now.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Exactly. So there you have it. Something my wife said. So, Ned, thanks again for joining in, and I guess we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Lauren, you're the best, pal.
All right, so folks, keep it right here. When we come back, I've got two Shut Your Mouths that I'm going to go ahead and share, that and a whole lot more. So keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone. Always, Global Golf Radio is also so proud to be brought to you by Hers and His. They care very much about the safety of their customers. Consequently, they've got letter vehicles, uniformed plumbers. They can take care of all of your heating and air needs as well. All you have to do is give them a call at 615-254-5750. That's 615-254-5750. You can also find them online at www.hersandhis.com. And Ned Michaels, who was just with us a few moments ago, how much confidence does he have in Hers and His? He sent it to mother-in-law. He sent it to his neighbor. That's confidence. That's Hers and His. And that's the company you should pick too. So now it is time for one of our favorite and regular segments called Shut Your Mouth. And so what made you say shut your mouth this week? Well, for me, I've actually got two things, and one of which goes to Mr. Nick Faldo, part of the telecast of the Masters in the booth with Jim Nance. And Tiger Woods, who wins his first major in 1997, and then up until this past Sunday, we're all under the impression that he's never going to win a major ever again. And consequently, Ryan A. Mudd, who for years and years and years kept telling us,
"I don't think he's going to make it."
Yes. And so Tiger Woods' last major being in 2008, that's an 11-year span. And now here we are in 2019, 11 years later, and Nick Faldo says something along the lines about the 11-year sun solstice or the 11-year cycle of the sun. Are you exactly what
is he talking about?
What is he talking about exactly? As I have now asked dozens of people, do you even have the faintest clue that there's such a thing in the universe as an 11-year sun solstice or an 11-year sun cycle or something to that effect? Because he point blank said something along those lines in the closing holes, in the closing moments of the tournament. And it made me say, Nick Faldo, do us a favor and shut your mouth,
Because you should have told me to turn up the audio. I don't have the
faintest clue what that means. And if anyone out there wants to correct me, wants to educate me, again, you're more than welcome. Give me a call at 615-737-1045. And if you're looking for me during most times of the day, Monday through Saturday, I'm at the beautiful Old Hickory Country Club, which, by the way, is doing some fantastic renovations to the clubhouse and the golf course.
And what's your Twitter handle?
And my Twitter handle is at Simplifying Golf. And as it stands, I'm quite certain I am not going to get a Twitter follow from Nick Faldo. But you know what? If you're going to say something that ridiculous, you know what? I'm okay without you, pal. I'm okay without you.
You never know. He could be listening.
Whatever. In the meantime, my second shut your mouth, Sunday evening. Because basically, after I get done watching the Golf Channel, it doesn't take me too long that the next channel I'm going to listen to is ESPN. So, of course, I turned on ESPN because, of course, I know that they're going to talk maybe about a different angle about the golf tournament. And I can't wait. And then, lo and behold, somewhere along the way, it's the ESPN Top 10. Great. So they're showing one guy, another guy, whatever, 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 whatever. We're counting them down. We get to number one. I know good and well what number one's going to be, because what number one is going to be is Tiger Woods, 11 years after winning his last major, 14 years after winning his last Masters. Of course, the ESPN Top 10 number one play of the day is going to be the iron shot on 16 that I knew he was going to hit it close. And I'd actually even texted someone, it would be pure Tiger Woods for him to get a hole in one in this moment. And doggone it, he came close. He came close and had just a little birdie tap in for birdie.
So they didn't show the 18 putt?
No. The 16
shot, almost, he almost hold it?
No. That wasn't the number one play of the day. Here comes the number one play of the day. The number one play of the day, Sunday evening. Now, again, I don't know if they're running different top 10s, because how can it be a top 10 if you show like 30 different plays? But anyhow, the number one play of the day that I saw Sunday evening on ESPN, God is my witness, was a fly ball in some game about somebody who knows what. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me, ESPN? Yes, some guy in the center field ran a ball down and up against the wall, he jumps up and he catches a fly ball for an out. Big deal. Because again, from my perspective, you've got what, 30 major league teams, give or take, 162 games, 54 outs a game. And that's the number one play.
What time was this?
It was late in the evening.
Okay. All right.
And that's the number one play. No. Because guess what? That play right there, you're going to see that tonight. You're going to see it tomorrow night. You're going to see it next week. I couldn't believe it. ESPN, you whiffed. And in fact, that made me say, shut your mouth, ESPN. Because again, I'm in complete disagreement. But now in the meantime, with the remaining minutes we got left in this segment, there's most people that I know, and maybe most people around the world, as far as I'm concerned, were absolutely overjoyed and in complete disbelief with Tiger Woods winning this event. But there's other people that, let's just say that maybe from the beginning, were never quite Tiger Woods fans. But from my perspective, maybe this can soften it for you just a little bit. Now, I'm not saying what I'm about to tell you next, that maybe you should be doing somersaults and handstands because he won. But did anyone happen to notice out there that after he wins, he looks at his caddy and he says, "We did it. We did it." Do you think a younger Tiger Woods ever would have said we? We? Are you kidding? No. Because again, the Tiger Woods, the early younger Tiger Woods, it was all about me. Me did it. Not we did it. Me did it. I did it. And so from my perspective, just another indication as to how much he's matured, how much he's grown. And then from there, how much of he's a different person. And then just possibly the incredible fall from grace that he had, and maybe just a little more humble. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear about this as well. He's never going to be Arnold Palmer. There's a reason why Arnold Palmer was so special, because there's only going to be one Arnold Palmer. Tiger Woods is never going to be Lee Trevino. for a guy to win six majors and kind of yuck and laugh it up and have a good time and jokes every minute of the day. No, that's not who Tiger Woods is either. But now that he's 43 years old, his kids are getting a little bit older. And guess what? In case you missed it, he had a big dose of humble pie. And so from my perspective, again, for him to turn around and in this moment want to share that with his caddy, who his caddy has been with him through thick and thin. His caddy that just a handful of years ago before the last surgery, the caddy's waiting on the sidelines because, again, you just don't know. Is he going to tee it up? Is he going to finish? Where are we? But the caddy held with him, and Tiger Woods to sit there and go that we did it, that impressed me magnificently. Now, is that going to single-handedly, if for some of you out there that might be listening, that you're just not a Tiger Woods fan, is that going to catapult you into the category of being a fan? I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. But from my perspective, if you're upset with him about something, that from my perspective, there's a chance if you look at yourself in the mirror for just a minute, there's a chance maybe you did something in your life that, you know what, a little forgiveness might have gone a long way as well. So, folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio. When we come back, we're going to close the segment with Barney Was Right and Barney Was Wrong. And you're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone. Where Barney was right, and I sure wish I would have been wrong, is I'd also been asked, because for those of you who don't know, I'm a huge Nashville Predators fan. And I'd been asked, what do you think they're going to do tonight? How do you think it's going to go? And half jokingly, I'd said, I would not be one bit surprised if they're going to sleepwalk their way after winning the previous game. They're going to sleepwalk their way and they're going to get beat. And right now, I didn't realize that I was so happy watching the television here in the studio that I was watching some kind of a college softball game that really have not that much concern with. And then it dawns on me, let's turn to the hockey game. And I sure wish Barney would have been wrong about this one, because in case you don't know, the Dallas Stars are up 4-0 on our beloved Nashville Predators. So maybe they can turn it around, but I doubt it. So if you couldn't tell, my voice kind of dropped a little bit. And so I need one thing to help me feel good. And you know what would make me feel good? That'd be if I went to the beautiful state of Mississippi. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what you should do, because that's what myself, Ned Michaels, and Bob Mueller like to do. And can you blame us when they've got gorgeous golf courses like Mossy Oak, Old Waverly, Falling Oak, and Dancing Rabbit? They've got world-class seafood. They've got chicken. It is the place to be. And they've got some sports betting. And gosh darn it, I sure hope you didn't have Nashville winning tonight's game, because that one might not work for you. And so, folks, if you want to take care of all of your travel plans to Mississippi, all you have to do is go to www.visitmississippi.org and do what myself and Ned Michaels and Bob Mueller like to do. But now, with the few minutes we have left, Barney was right and Barney was wrong. So let's see where Barney was wrong. The first thing, first on the list where Barney was wrong, that doggone Rory McIlroy, who had not finished outside the top 10 all year. And I thought for sure this is his chance, this is his turn. And thanks for nothing, Rory, because you finished 21st, 8 shots back. You made 16 bogeys, which is just terrible for a guy of your skill and ability. And you made me wrong. The next guy that made me wrong, Justin Rose, 75-73, misses the cut. And I should have known that there was something going on, because I had also pointed out last week that the number one golfer in the world, ranked golfer in the world, had not won the Masters since Tiger Woods in 2001. And Justin Rose, you keep that tradition going. Paul Casey, I was wrong with you too. Now, as I understand it, I think he had a little health issue, but he plays very, very poorly. I think he had like some sinus issue or something like that. Another guy that I was wrong, Xander Schauffele, who I simply did not think had the experience to play well there. Xander, congratulations, because you sure proved me wrong when you finished tied for second, one shot back. Jason Day, I did not think that he was healthy enough. I did not think that he was healthy enough that, but he actually played admirably well. He finished two shots back. Matt Kuchar, you proved me wrong, because I did not think you hit the ball long enough. I didn't think you putted well enough, but you actually wound up finishing 12th in the event. So congratulations. And then Ian Blyapalta, who at his best, when he was playing his best, I did not think that he could hit it high enough, far enough, consistently enough. And he proved me wrong. And we'll never know if he doesn't hit the ball in the water on 12, how maybe the tournament could have turned around for him.
Who called you on that one?
Ian Blaypalta?
Who called you?
Ryan Amott, I love how you just step in at any random moment and stuff. That's fantastic. I love that. But now, can we go to Barney Was Right? And Barney Was Right. Now, granted, maybe you can tell me that I named several dozen players and stuff, but Barney was right about Tiger Woods. And I'll tell you what, the first thing that kind of gave me a little glimpse of just maybe Tiger might win this thing is another stat when I was doing the research, is that the average world golf ranking for the Masters is 12.4. And when I stumbled across that and I happened to look over, and Tiger Woods is ranked 12th in the world. In that little moment, that gave me a little glimpse that I'm wondering, wow, that just maybe the time is right. And congratulations to him. He pulls it off. Francesco Molinari, I thought he was going to be in the mix. And I didn't know he was going to have a two-shot lead standing on 12T. But anyhow, so he proved me right. Brooks Koepka, I thought was going to play well, and he did. He is second in the list behind Molinari of kicking himself, wondering, man, I could have won this thing. If he doesn't hit the water on 12, and then he's got makeable birdies on 17 and 18, but he could have won it. He finished one shot back. Dustin Johnson, my number two pick, he finished second in the tournament. But realistically, he turns around and he kind of backdoored his way. Jordan Spieth, I was hoping, would prove me wrong. And I'd said when it happened, he was going to break your heart, and he did. He had some flashes of brilliance, as I expected, but 8 bogeys and 2 doubles, not a chance. John Rahm, he proved me right, finished 9th. Sergio Garcia, that I said was not going to play well, he proved me right. He missed the cut. Lou Eustazen played well. Bubba Watson played well. Patrick Reed, I said, was not going to play well. He finished 36th. And then, if you were with us in the show last week, that I'd also mentioned in my research how greens and regulation mattered. And go figure that Tiger Woods led